He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, my name is Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and author of my newest book, God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. I'm so glad that you could join with us on today's program. As we go through this series, His Promised Grace, I know that you will discover that God's grace has allowed you to live the abundant life here on this earth as you walk in Jesus Christ. As you listen to the series, you will understand that the abundant life is more than finances, it's more than cars, it's more than houses, it's much more than any of that. It is eternal salvation in Jesus Christ that allows us to walk in His abundance with joy in our heart, knowing that God is in control of these troubled times. Now let's listen to the message, His Promised Grace. Father, we approach Your throne. We give You praise, honor, and glory. We thank You for the life that You have given to us. We thank You for Your eternal salvation that You have chosen to give to each one of us, Father, because of Your love for us. I pray, Father, You will use my mouth, that You will speak only those words that You would have me to speak. I pray that our hearts will be meditated upon every word of Your glory. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start a new series today, His Promised Grace. The grace that we have, that He has actually already promised to us, in fact, that He has already given us, even though we cannot see what has happened 10 years from now, we can expect that God's grace will be manifest to us as we continue our walk in Jesus Christ. As humans, we receive the grace of God on a daily basis, and that includes the wicked as well as the righteous. Those who are not walking in Jesus Christ right now, I think, have an extra portion of grace upon them. Because if you think about your life before you came to Christ, you are but filthy rags before God. Now, I don't know about you, but occasionally, I will clean up the garage, occasionally. Very few and far between. But if I see filthy rags laying in front of me as I walk out the door, I don't care if I'm going to clean up the garage or not. What do I do with those? I pick them up and generally I just throw them in the garbage can. Because they are filthy rags. Many times there's no need to wash the rags because they're just going to unravel in the washing machine and get those little strings in there, those things that clog up the washing machine. I'd rather throw the rags away than take the risk of damaging my perfectly good washing machine with those little strings. We stand before God in our wickedness without Jesus Christ as filthy rags. But then, because of the grace of God, He sent His Son for us while we were still in our sins. Have you ever contemplated that at all? I do it a lot lately. I don't know why. I just do it a lot. I think about myself, and God, why would You save me? Why am I worth saving? What did I do that made You love me? And of course, the answer to that question is, I did absolutely nothing. In fact, everything I did, or still do, I suppose for that matter, would push God away, would put God off, would make Him hate me rather than love me. Because think about it from the human standpoint for just one second. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and do good to those who persecute us. How hard is that to do? When someone is doing us wrong, it is extremely difficult to walk over to that person and tell them, I love you. It's extremely difficult just to walk over to the person that is persecuting you. And I only do that because of the love of God. Well, think about it from God's standpoint. He had no reason to love us. He created us for His pleasure. When we no longer pleased Him, could He not have just thrown us away? But instead, He sent His Son. His grace covered us. Isaiah 26:10 says, though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they will go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. Even though grace is shown to the wicked, we can't learn righteousness without Jesus Christ. Though grace is shown to the wicked without the love of Christ, without the power of the Holy Spirit that we have been discussing prior to this, without that power, we cannot learn righteousness. It can't happen. Will not happen. So grace is given to all. Grace is not only given to the righteous. Grace is given to all. However, it is up to the individual, it is up to you to accept the grace of Jesus Christ that has been given to you freely, though you did not deserve the grace that has been given to you. Though I do not deserve the grace for the sin that I have committed in my life. Turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. First, I want you to realize that a Christian is a saint. I have a difficult time calling myself a saint. I know of all the things that I have done in my life. I know of the things that I still continually do in my life that I must pray for, repentance. I have a difficult time calling myself a saint. It was God's will for Paul to spread the gospel. That's very clear here. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus. Acts 9:13 through 16 says, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias about Paul. The Lord is talking about Paul here. Paul, he says that he was called by the will of God. Paul, a murderous individual who went around persecuting and killing Christians. That was his sole job, his sole purpose in the Pharisaical community was to go and persecute Christians. And he did it proudly for God. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Paul, being a murderer, called a saint. We've all heard of the saints. We hear them many, many times. Saint Peter, Saint Paul, Saint Mark. We hear of many different saints. Second, Christians are saints because they are believers. Ephesians 1:1 again, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing this letter to the saints. Now wait a minute, I thought a saint was that person after they died, they went to heaven, they put on their wings. Well, let me tell you, that's not theologically sound at all. We do not become angels when we die. We are saints in Jesus Christ. When we go to the kingdom, we are sons of God. We do not become angels. Forget about touched by an angel. Forget about all of those angel programs that you have ever watched. We do not leave this life and become angels. Those are different created beings. But we are saints. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a saint. You become a saint. Paul is called a saint. and all of those saints, St. John, St. Jude. What about St. Doug, St. Tim, St. Denise, St. Rebecca, St. Greg? What about all those saints? Another St. John back over here. What about those saints? These other saints that we hear about in the Bible are no different than you or I. They're same individuals, just as bad, just as filthy of rags that they ever were. Paul, Jesus said, "Why do you persecute me?" is what Jesus asked Paul. "Why are you killing me? Why do you come against me?" He was stood with filthy rags. Paul says here, the saints at Ephesus. Who are the saints? They are the faithful in Jesus Christ. They are those who follow the teaching and the leading of Jesus Christ. They are those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are those who stand faithfully in obedience to Jesus Christ. They are the saints. Does that mean that they are faithful in works? Partially. But only because they love the Savior. They are not saints because of their works. As we get more into Ephesians, we are going to see, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Paul is writing in this Ephesian letter about grace. This entire letter comes to us about the grace of God. It is the faithful in heart. It is the faithful in the heart that is shown the works that we do, because we are faithful in our heart. If we're striving to be saved, then we're not saved. If we are working to be saved, and that is all your life has ever been about, then you don't know Christ. Because my Christ says that by grace I have been saved. No matter what it is that I have done in my life, if I had not accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and I stood before God and I said, "Yeah, but God, what about all these times when I was good?" They're but filthy rags. And He would toss them in the garbage. A saint is one who is separated unto God. That's all a saint is. Someone who is separated to be like Jesus Christ. A bunch of little Jesuses run around. A bunch of little Jesuses who are humble in heart, whose sole goal is not to say, "Look at me because I'm Jesus," but whose sole goal is to say, "Look at Him because He is Jesus. Take your eyes off of me and glorify God." We have a consciousness of God. The world has no consciousness of the power of God. We are separated and given the consciousness of our God. We know that He's there. We know that He's alive. We know that He loves us. We know because of His grace, we are allowed to live in eternity with Jesus Christ. Because of the grace of God. Not only because of the grace of God for what we have done, but for what the grace of God for what we will do. Has anybody ever wondered why the Old Testament saints are in heaven? What a mystery. I thought we were saved by Jesus Christ. They were living long before Jesus. Shouldn't they all be in hell? None of them knew Jesus Christ. But my God lives in the past, present, and the future. And that saving grace of God was retroactive for the righteousness that was in their heart, that they did not reject God, but they tried to live a life according to God because of their love for God. It's exactly the same as us today. If you're living a life for God because of the works, trying to work your way into heaven, then you're on the wrong path to nowhere. But if you are living a life for God because of your love for God, then you are on the path of righteousness and that you will have eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Romans 9, 31-32 says, "But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it." talking about Israel as a nation who has rejected Christ. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. They weren't pursuing God through faith. They were trying to live for God through the law. They were trying to do what everyone in America tries to do now. Well, you know, how many times have you heard that? Well, I heard a long time ago Phil Donahue said, when it was talking about amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Phil Donahue stopped the song in the middle. He said, I'm not a wretch. He has no concept of what that means, because most of America lives saying, well, you know what, I haven't killed anybody. In fact, he even said that. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't raped anybody. I'm not a wretch. Are you as holy as God the Father? Do you do every single thing perfect? Do you live to perfection in your every single day life? And of course, the answer to that will have to be no if you're going to be honest with yourself and with others. Then you're a wretch. You're a wretch. We can't hope to live to the holiness of God. We're wretches. We're filthy rags. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Paul faulted Israel for pursuing the law of righteousness through their own works and not through their faith. Hebrews 11 says, Abraham obeyed by faith. Noah prepared the ark by faith. Moses left Egypt by faith. There's no expression in the Bible by the saints who performed acts of righteousness for gratitude or thankfulness. Every single one that is in the Bible that I know is in heaven right now is because they acted by righteousness through their faith in God, knowing that what He has told them is true. And that is what we act on each and every day. And if we don't, then our whole religion, our whole basis for Christianity is out the window. We're just like all the other religions in the world. We're just like Buddhism or Islam or any other religion in the world who's trying to work their way into heaven, not understanding that the works that we have to offer God are but filthy rags. What can we do to God? What can we actually give to God that He doesn't have? Those works that are done are not for righteousness, because we can't give God anything that He does not have already. The sacrifice that He asks us to give is because it gives up a piece of ourselves and shows our faith. In other words, they were acts of righteousness, but they were performed through faith in the Old Testament. They hadn't even seen the promise yet. Noah built the ark and he'd never seen the promise. Abraham began a race that was going to span as many as the sands on the seashore, but he didn't get to see that. He died before it happened. Of course, he got to see it when he got to heaven. They lived and acted by faith. In fact, they acted by future grace. There's a book that I've read a few times. It's a very good book. If you'd like to buy the book, I would suggest it. It's a great book. John Piper wrote the book, and it's called Future Grace. Simply that. It's not an expensive book. I think it's $8 or $9 or $10. Very good book. Explains the grace of God and how we walk and how we live in His future grace. And how, as we are giving our love to Him, it's not so that we can repay a debt. It is an expression of love. John Piper's book, he says, quote, "The Bible does not say that obedience does not come from the backward gaze of gratitude, but that it comes from the forward gaze of faith." End quote. The Bible doesn't say that it's because of gratitude. It's because we are looking forward to the grace of God. Why do we walk in this love of Christ? We are believing that what He has told us is true. We are believing that the promise that He has given to us is true, and that someday we will stand before Christ perfect because of God's grace, not because of anything you have done. However, the paradox of that is, because of God's grace, you will want to do the works that He has asked us to do. We believe in the faith of God. We believe we have faith to know that what He has told us is true. If your employer tells you, if you will do this work for me, I will give you a bonus, would you not do the work? I think you probably would. If you will do this work, I will give you a bonus. How do you know that He's going to give you that bonus? You have faith in what He has already done, and you've been working with Him for years, and every single time you've ever done anything else He's asked you to do, He has paid you for it, or He has given you recognition for it, or He has given you the bonus that He has said that He would give you. You have that faith in that employer who has told you they will do what they say they're going to do. We have faith in our God to do what He has told us He is going to do, because in this scripture that we read, all of the promises that were fulfilled that we have seen, we know they happened. We know that when He made a promise, you can bank on it, you can stand on it, it will not go away. It is not like sand on the seashore, it is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. You can stand on it. You can stand on the fact that He has future grace for you and for me. Number three, the believer gives grace. The believer gives grace. You, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you also give grace. It comes from you. It exudes from you as Jesus Christ lives in you. Ephesians 1 verse 2 says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." As Paul is writing this letter, he is giving them grace. He doesn't say, "I will give you grace. I'm giving you grace." He doesn't say that. He's saying, "Grace and peace to you. I'm offering grace to you. I'm praying for grace for you." He's giving grace. Romans 1, 5 says, "Through Him and for His name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." If you receive something, does that not mean you cannot give it away also? I believe it does. I've had another pastor argue the point with me that we cannot give grace as people. Only God can give grace, but I beg to differ. Romans 5:17, and I believe we're going to prove that in a second. "For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" In Romans 12:3-8, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves in sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that God has given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to the proportion of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." The gifts that we have just been discussing the last several weeks, God tells us to use those liberally as our faith has been given to us. 2 Corinthians 6:1, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." In other words, if you receive God's grace and you do not give His grace back, you're receiving it selfishly. You've got the grace. God's grace is shown in you through the gifts that He has given to you. that you might be able to show others about Jesus Christ. That you might be able to tell others about Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that I can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully. This verse right here, I believe, blows that theory in the water that we cannot give grace to others. Faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. How do you administer something? You give it out. We are to give out God's grace in various forms. Which form are you to give it out? I don't know. That is between you and God to begin to pray that open your heart, open your mind, that you might understand the Scriptures, that you might say, God, what is the gift that you have given me that I am supposed to share with others? What is that gift? I want to know. I want to use it for your glory. I don't want to use it to puff me up with pride, show how spiritual I am, make me a spiritual leader in the church, make me someone who could stand up and say, oh, go to this man, he can heal. No, you can't. God does the healing. God does the giving of the grace. He uses you as a vessel. You are administering the grace that He has already given to you, and it is coming out of you, and you are giving the grace. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. That means that whatever grace has been given to you, it can be expanded. When we become the vessel that we are supposed to be. What happens when your grace becomes expanded? You become super Christian? You become the one who floats along the ground? No. When your grace is expanded, you are able to administer more grace. And what happens? More come to know the living God. That's all it's for. The grace that's been given to us is so that we might be a vessel. That we might be able to tell others about Jesus Christ. Oh yes, it's so that we can have eternal salvation. It's so that we can live for eternity with Jesus Christ. It's for all of those reasons. But every single thing that God gives to us in this Word is so that it will come through us and go out to someone else. We have the privilege this morning of having TJ and Jason Poon with us. They've been in the mission field administering grace to all who will listen. I know that it is a struggle for them. How do I know it's a struggle for them? Because any time that you step out for God, you can expect there to be struggles and to be pains. That is the time when you look up and you rejoice. Because the apostles, whenever they left and they were beaten and they were bloody, they always left rejoicing. Because they were stood with faith and they stood counted the glory that they were able to receive persecution for Christ. Even though God gives us grace in abundance, He wants us to grow more every single day. He wants you to grow according to your faith. Did you hear what Paul was saying? According to your faith, administer this grace. He wants your faith to grow every single day. You know what? Used to, I don't do it quite as much anymore, so I don't want to hear any giggles or anything. I used to work out pretty good. I still work out a little bit just to try to make sure I don't turn into something where I utterly can't lift anything any longer. But I found that when you begin to work those muscles, an amazing thing happens. They begin to grow. And I've also found that when you stop working those muscles, they begin to shrink or rearrange in different spots. It moves to different spots. It's not near as healthy as it used to be. It's the same with our faith. And God says that His grace is going to grow according to our faith. It's going to grow more and more and more. The grace that we are going to be able to put out to someone else. I think that's an amazing phenomenon to me. I can see it in my own life, but only to a small degree. And I pray more and more, Lord, use me more. Expand my faith, Lord. I'm just like anybody else. I still get concerned about finances at times. I still get concerned about someone being sick. I still get concerned about different things that I have no right to be concerned over. Because God has told me that He's already got them fixed. His future grace is already in effect right now. It's already happened for His glory and for His honor. It's already happened. All I have to do is believe in that word that He has told me and know that His grace abides. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your grace, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that You will help me, help my faith to grow, Lord. I pray for each one that is in this congregation that You will help their faith to grow. I pray that You will help us to be able to share Your grace with others. And show them about the love of the Father that He has for us, through us. I pray that You will make each one of us missionaries, Father, for You. I pray that we will begin to get a heart, a burden that comes on us about those who do not know Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that You will begin to prepare us for the battle. For the battle that is raging, that we might run to the battle, Lord. That we will no longer seek to sit behind the lines, but we will run to engage the enemy. We rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, and You have no power over this congregation. We receive the mighty grace of God through Your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray all who are within the sound of my voice today will accept You as their Lord and their Savior. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us on our broadcast of His Gospel Power. I'm excited that you join with us and listen to us daily about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a listener-supported program, and I'm asking that you might prayerfully consider joining with us to spread the gospel around the world. You can do that in many ways. You can either go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. My latest one is God's Promise for Your Success, His Promised Grace. All the proceeds of those books go to this program of His Gospel Power. Also, you could go to HisGospelPower.org, HisGospelPower.org, and there is a donate section on that website. That is our website here for His Gospel Power. And just go and click on the donate button. If you would prefer to mail your gift, you can just send it to P.O. Box 1569. That's P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And all contributions that we receive are greatly appreciated. You would truly be a blessing to this ministry. I'm excited once again that you have joined with us. And until next time, I pray that you experience His Gospel Power today.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.